Welcome to another episode of Radio Contra, the podcast of AmericanPartisan.org, Brushbeater.org, and of course, the forum, forum.brushbeater.org, and the Radio Recon group. It is good to be back with you this evening, this Monday evening, and man, we have got quite a bit to talk about, do we not? So first, I would be remiss to not address the fact that the Rittenhouse trial, the verdict that came out of that, obviously being favorable to common sense Americans, people who believe in the preservation of their rights and the protection of their property and what they have worked, poured their heart and soul into, and for it to be wantonly destroyed in the streets. And you know, have somebody very bravely stand up against that, when so many others did not. You know, the verdict out of that, so bottom line up front, you know, we had quite a bit of content go up over the weekend. We've had a lot go on here at Radio Contra behind the scenes. And, you know, I didn't necessarily want to talk about it right off the bat, because it's being covered in a lot of places. Okay, we're going to get to it for sure, but there's a lot of really important stuff to address also that's going on. You know, very predictably, the left is shifting into what I call a domestic terrorism model. Now, what I will say is that unlike pretty much the rest of the podcast sphere, I would absolutely say in the news commentary realm, of which we are quickly becoming very highly rated, I have kind of a unique set of expertise in this field and can break things down for you in a way that possibly will not be done in other places for various reasons. And we're going to get to that in this episode. But I had a number of people email me, you know, pretty much asking, like, oh, what's your thoughts on the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing? What's your thoughts on this? Well, first of all, it doesn't matter what my thoughts are. I'm not there. I wasn't part of the jury. I had absolutely nothing to do with that. That's number one. I appreciate the fact that people are wanting my opinion on it, but I am explaining to you that my opinion has absolutely no value whatsoever. What do you think about it? Okay. I know that may sound odd, and for some people, they, you know, what they want, what they're looking for when they're asking for something like that is for somebody to tell them what they want to hear to confirm their own beliefs. And that's fine. That's fine. But, you know, there's other things that you have to address simultaneously, and the world doesn't necessarily revolve around those events. However, with that being said, we have to address what happened yesterday. Predictably, unfortunately, and this is the thing. a lot of people out there are what I call the popcorn eaters. They watch the show, so to speak, and they get caught up in the confirmation bias of things. You know, we go our day-to-day lives. Now, if you look at where we are today and you compare this model to of literally the current events, and we compare it to where we were 5 years ago, where we were 10 years ago, where we were 20 years ago, right? And in those time spans, so compare what we saw yesterday to 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, right? And that perspective, when we look back and in retrospect, gives us a foundational perspective on understanding the threat that we face, okay? So what I mean by the popcorn eaters, they're the people who are stuck in the now. They may have observed things in the past. They observe things that are happening now. They are trying to rationalize this. They put together a piece and they go about their lives. Okay, if you're a prepper, if you are a quote-unquote survivalist, if you are a a concerned, armed, prepared citizen, whatever you want to call yourself, right? This is still a trap that a lot of people fall into. I see it all the time. I talk to people in this field, so to speak, on a daily basis. I write from this perspective on a daily basis. I have a forum where there's a lot of people. And listen, folks, it doesn't mean that you're not well-meaning, okay? It doesn't mean that you don't understand and take very seriously the fact that there is a threat. However, you do not have the perspective in mind. You don't have it. And other folks, myself included, do. And the reason why we do is that we have experience seeing where this goes. You know, it doesn't mean we're better than anybody, okay? It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean that, you know, some former so-and-so and a such-and-such is better than anybody. No, not at all. Not at all. And I know there's going to be a few of you who are going to hear that and shoot me a really, you know, angry email. Oh, here he goes again, right? No, not at all. You know, and that's why I don't really talk much about my background in all of this, because it doesn't matter. Okay, it really doesn't matter. I come from things as a perspective of just a man. Okay, just a man in the world, just another person. Okay. And hopefully the tools that I've been given in one way or another in this long, strange journey that I've had that we call life, hopefully, and I've been blessed enough to survive thus until now, hopefully I can share something with you that'll give you that perspective. But anyway, with that said, so, you know, we get caught up in our daily perspective and we begin to create a normalcy bias. Okay, well, this is just normal. Without understanding exactly where this is going to go, okay? I remember very distinctly last summer predicting that things like what we saw last night, a black male driving a Ford Escape into a crowd of people that were predominantly white, and I am pointing this out for a fact, right, to define terms, it was a group target. And I pointed out that this is going to become the norm. not necessarily driving cars into people, although that works, as we know from Europe, that works quite well when you are the other and you hate that group of people. When you were talking about group targets, and it doesn't, ethnicity, specific ethnicity doesn't matter here. What does matter is that you have one group pitted against another group. You need to understand that. Because that is the manner in which all of this conflict has been framed. That is the manner in which Marxists, using conflict theory, this is what everything that they argue for is rooted in, and you will see them in their academic texts talking about conflict theory. It is something that I know inside and out. This is exactly where they are coming from, and this is exactly what it produces. So where this is going, I predicted where this was going to go. I said there are going to be attacks against group targets. These protests in the streets, for all you idiots that were out there, I had a few of these dumb commenters that were there saying, oh, Antifa's occupying territory. No, dummy. They're not occupying any territory. It is not beneficial for them to do so. They learned with Chaz that you can't do that. And some of their betters, by the way, in their cadre, knew all along and were advising them to do that. The whole reason that they attempted it was just a show. It was just seizing a narrative. That's all it was. They were just going to let it play out. But this was going to give way to targeted violence. What is targeted violence? What is a form of terrorism? All right, this is a terrorist incident. A guy goes to a Christmas parade, which is a, for that part of Wisconsin, is a massive group target for the other, right? The person who is not like him, right? And he drove his vehicle into it. That's the breakdown of events. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, right? Absent all the other feelings, absent all the other BS drama here, there, and elsewhere, right? That's it. That's the facts. You know, you're listening to this show most likely right now because you're, and some of you who know by now know what I'm about to say, maybe. But I would wager a bet that some people out there are listening to this because you want the conservative equivalent of a Joy Reid out there or Rachel Maddow or somebody who's going to get angry. Right? Well, yeah, I am angry. I am absolutely angry. Why? Because this is something I have fought to stop. This is something I continue to fight to stop. With every class that I run, with every group of people that I train. And this idea of hatred, hatred for your brother, hatred for your sister, hatred for your fellow countrymen, hatred that the left has sought to imbue on an entire generation, multiple generations. It's sickening. I'm not here to stoke the flames. It's not what I'm here to do. There's plenty of other voices that'll do that, and that's fine. All right. Believe me, there's none more outraged than I. That is righteous indignation. But what we're going to talk about in this episode, and we're going to talk about in the next episode as well, is protecting yourself and safeguarding yourself from these types of incidents. Because this is going to continue and it's going to pick up in intensity and frequency. You know, I remember not that long ago, although it does seem like it was some time ago now, when Charlottesville happened. And when Charlottesville happened, and that guy drove his car into a crowd of people under rather suspicious circumstances. He's since been convicted. He was railroaded. And the media blitz was out there. There was a fervor. So coming after President Trump. Oh, you need to renounce white nationalism. You need to renounce this evil person. You need to denounce this whole group of people, Proud Boys, and all this different stuff, right? Pretty much just a checklist of all the people the left is actually scared of. Right, real or imagined. Okay, real or imagined. You know, even ignoring the fact that, well, we won't even go there. But point is that, you know, what did we get? I renounce this and that and the other. Okay, you know, and no, you know, we should come from a position of love. We should come from a position of understanding these are your fellow countrymen. And, of course, this is not something that's taught nor glorified nor valued in our education system. So what else would you expect? All right. And so with all of that said, I want to know where the calls for our current resident plugs Biden. I want to know where the calls for him to renounce Antifa are. Where's the army of reporters who are hounding down the gates of the West Wing right now to get him to renounce this? Where are they? Where are the calls from big tech to deplatform Twitter, which gives a safe haven to the most virulent examples of hatred that I have ever encountered, ever? And some of you out there who are longtime listeners, you've heard me talk about and discuss the ethnic hatred that I encountered between different groups in the Middle East. These people take the cake. Absolutely no compassion whatsoever for fellow human beings. None. Of course, I'm not surprised when you incentivize mental illness and you allow the most virulent of people the freedom of maneuver, which we should not do, by the way. We should not do, regardless of political affiliation. There's some real dumbasses out there that don't deserve to speak. That being said, absolutely no censorship or safeguard or whatsoever on them. None. No safeguards, no controls. Although, if you have a dissenting opinion, if you're a conservative, you cease to be a person. Right. There are none. No blue checkmark campaigns to deplatform Twitter, to censure Jack Dorsey, to castigate those bad sectors, to force them into the more shadowy realms of the internet. No. Nope. In fact, the left has done nothing more than double down. And that's what they're going to continue to do. They're not going to stop. I mean, you have to understand this. What they want is a full-blown communist revolution. I was discussing a little while ago the fallout from all of this, and had some people who are the popcorn eaters saying, well, you know, oh, but it's, you know, they're not rioting because the politicians, the Democrats have power right now, and blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, they lost in Virginia and they lost big in New Jersey. And I don't know about that. I don't know about that. So you have to understand something. These people who have taken to the streets are communist revolutionaries. And we're coming up on the winter. They're not going to be out in the streets rioting because there's nothing to gain. By the way, it's cold outside, in case you haven't noticed. It's even cold down here. Right? Right? The low's like 21 degrees tonight. Now, what they're going to do, shift to a terrorism model. They're going to start attacking people. Group targets. They're going to hit malls. They're going to hit Christmas parades. They hate Christmas, by the way. They hate Christians. Marxists hate Christians. They hate Christians more than they hate any other religion. That's why they seek to undermine Christianity. As Reverend Billy Graham would say, it's the offense of the cross. Because the cross stands in offense to everything that they are not. One of the most legendary sermons, by the way. You should go back and listen to it. You know, this is what they're going to do. There's going to be mass shootings. There's going to be more incidents like this because there is no outrage at the federal level. They are not going to do what needs to be done because they are the people that they see. That is their voter base. And when you have our elected officials out there immediately sitting and questioning the efficacy of a jury trial, which is our most important institution of law in the Constitution. It is the most basic legal protection and right under the law to be tried by a jury of your peers. Jury nullification is a thing. Further, the statement from this prosecutor after the trial was nothing short of disgusting. Stating that the right to self-defense was a privilege. A privilege. The privilege of self-defense. No. Self-defense, the fundamental human right, the assurance of dignity, and the right to self-defense and preservation of life. And I know damn well that that prosecutor and that prosecutorial team in that wretched office knows a thing or two about language and precision language. They used the term privilege for a very specific reason. It was a final dig. That's exactly why they did that. But anyhow, folks, we're headed down a bad path. You know, sometime back, a couple of times actually, on AmericanPartisan.org, I posted up a video which has served as a training film many, many times over the years. It was mandatory viewing for a number of different schools, counterterrorism schools in the Army. But the Battle of Algiers, you need to watch that. You need to go back and watch. I challenge you to go back and watch the Battle of Algiers. Because in it, in case you didn't know, it is a textbook for Marxist revolution in the streets. I want you to go back and watch it. And given what we saw yesterday, and given what we saw over the past several months, I do believe that it would give you a more important perspective on the world. It's a dangerous path that we're headed towards. You need to be better prepared for it. This is where your training comes in. Now, I want to talk very quickly about biblical doctrine and just war. Now, you know, something that Paul Lefebvre, Mike Blackburn, and myself talked about just two episodes ago. And if you haven't listened to that podcast, I strongly, 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 strongly encourage you to do so. For me personally, it was one of the most powerful things that I have ever sat and recorded. And Paul Lefebvre, Mike Blackburn, both career Special Forces vets. Paul Lefebvre now is a pastor of a church down in the Sand Hills here in North Carolina. and run their publishing company, and go back and please listen to that podcast. It's 1 hour long, 1 hour out of your time. And we touch on a large number of topics, and one of them deals in this concept of just war. What is just war? Just war is when a people come under attack, when God's people have come under attack by evil. They have a duty, a righteous duty, to stand against it. Just war is recognizing that there is evil in the world and standing up and saying, I'm not going to allow this, not on my watch. And so, in listening to that podcast, going back and listening to it, there was a number of topics that we talked about. You know, I've been to Sutherland Springs Baptist Church in Texas. I've been there. I drove around the place. I sat in the parking lot and saw the building that had been shot up. And, of course, the new church is there as well. And I kind of just took all that in, the eerie silence that's there. And you realize, you know, after everything else that I've seen, and I've seen some truly horrific acts of evil, of depravity in the world, and there's some things that, to be quite candid with you, there's a number of things in my personal life that I just don't even approach. I just don't, just avoid it. You know, and to talk about some of the things that we talked about on that podcast, and I don't remember offhand the exact mark that we were talking about it, but with active shooter self-defense, which is Paul's newest book that he wrote, and he got out there, and I would say that it is critical that you read it. Critical that you read it. You know, something that we talked about off air was related to this concept of just war. And after that incident last night, after seeing that, after I got a heads up from John Ammons of UW Gear, Hawkeye, and he sent me, said there was a possible mass casualty incident in Wisconsin. And I immediately knew in the back of my head, I knew what was going on. It's one of those things you just know, right? You just know. But simultaneously, I prayed for the victims. I prayed for the inevitable victims. I prayed for the dead, but I also prayed for those souls of the wicked that committed the act. And I prayed for the souls of the wicked who would justify such an act. And I know that there's some people out there that are going to listen to this that are on the other side of the spectrum. You can say, yeah, well, you justified a guy that murdered. No. Anyone with a brain, anyone with a sense of decency knows that young man acted in self-defense. Now, circumstances leading up to it are what they are. Doesn't matter now. It's all over. Right? But he acted in self-defense. And are you really going to sit there and justify a child rapist, a multi-time felon, the most wicked among us? And those are just a handful of people out there, the creatures of the night that were out there. Yeah, I said it. It's exactly what they were. Because it needs to be said. But I prayed for those souls that would look at this kind of thing and laugh. I prayed for those souls who inevitably looked at the news story and said, well, those people at that Christmas parade, I'm not a Christian, so they got what they deserved. Because I know that you're out there. I know that you people are out there. All I have to do is look at the Twitter feeds, and I'll see you. with your green and pink hair. I'll see you. Because you can dehumanize me. And you will. And you have. People who believe as I do. And that's fine. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. But I'm also reminded of one other thing from that interview. We talked about compassion. We talked about compassion and the compassion that when you're hitting a hard target. Paul shared a story indirectly, hitting a hard target and, you know, just dropped a guy. Just ventilated a jihadist that's on that target. No idea what it could have been. I have my own stories that analog to that one. But in the next room, there's women and children hiding. And they ushered them to safety. They got them to safety. Because it's what you do in that moment. In that moment, you go from one extreme to the other. Because the compassion is real. And that is how you know that someone is a force for good. How do we treat the most innocent among us? And on one hand, you can have people who will justify predators, absolute monsters, on the most innocent among us. Justify them. And on the other, we don't dwell on that one. And so I come back to this doctrine of just war. You know, as God's people, and religion is not something that I very often discuss. I don't wear my faith on my sleeve because it's just not a thing to do. Yes, I'm very religious in my own right. I'm not perfect. I'm human. It's like all of us, right? I'm human, right? But at the same time, I understand that we're all going to be judged one day. We've all been put in situations. We've all had things happen. And we all have to follow the Lord's word. And so, growing up, I had a minister. I was very blessed growing up with two very religious parents and had a number of great ministers over the years that you know, I got to know and great sermons that I got to hear. But one of them was dealing with simply open the Bible and talk to the Lord. The Lord's speaking to us all the time. The question is whether or not you're going to be there to listen and whether or not your ears are receptive enough to listen, whether or not your heart is open to the message that's being told to you. And so immediately when I heard that there was suffering, immediately when I heard that there was this evil, this incident that had happened, and I prayed, my heart ached for that. Heartache for that, for the loss of life. But simultaneously, I prayed for the wicked. And I began to look up scriptures. I opened my King James Bible. I have a kind of a traditionalist in that regard. And I opened my King James Bible. And began looking for scriptures that specifically dealt with this idea of just war. And the very first one, top of the list, Matthew 26:52. And Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all that take the sword shall perish with the sword. And so for all of you who are out there, and myself included, who are visiting those dark places, I ask of you, I petition you, to please contemplate the word. put the sword in its place. Take of that what you will. Ecclesiastes 3:8. There's a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. One of the raids that we went on in Afghanistan, I'll never forget this one. Never forget it. I'll never forget it for a few reasons. But our chaplain went with us on this. He was kind of an interesting character. But he went with us on it. And that is the prayer. That is the scripture that he quoted before we got, before we loaded up to get going. I will never, ever forget that. Never forget that. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. I think that we need to get back to that. I think that we need to get back to that. You know, I could do an entire episode just talking about how the politicization of policing, the institution of policing. I think that if police were allowed to do their job and fulfill their role as a protectorate of property in the place, in a social area, which is their original role, if they were allowed to do that, and they had been allowed to do that, and when we didn't have this politicization and the corruption of the institution of policing in the United States at the local level, none of this would be occurring right now. None of it. But when you negotiate with evil, that's what you get. Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Matthew 24:6-7. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's a very, very important verse for a lot of reasons. The end is not here yet. Fight's not over. It hasn't even begun. And you need to prepare yourselves for it. John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. I am not of this world. We are not of this world. We are only here. This is temporary. On our mortal coil. Romans 13:4. One of the most critically important verses in the Bible. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. It's a foundational scripture there for Christian morality. Psalm 144:1, the Psalm of David. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them, despite them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Critically important. Critically important scripture. You know, when you sit back and you think, who benefits from hatred? The hatred among the masses. There's an interesting answer that you could come up with there. Luke 6:24-31. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Do good to them which hate you. Deuteronomy 20. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses, chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which has brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. The Lord's always with you. He's always with the righteous. Always. Always. And finally, Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth that power resisteth the ordinance of God, and that they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. You know, we read these scriptures because they give us foundation, they give us meaning, they give us understanding and reflection on life and on incidents like these. These people, they act out of hate. And I've said over and over that we do what we do out of love. Love for our fellow man, love for our country, love for those around us. And we shall never, ever yield to that. I petition you and implore you to not harden your hearts to your fellow man. That's the last thing that you should do, and that's exactly what they want. Rather, you should go out and keep loving, but you should be prepared. That does not in any way, shape, or form mean that you do not sharpen your swords, that you do not prepare yourselves. You steel your hearts, as Colonel Hal Moore would say, for what's coming. You know, this is exactly what they have asked for, the communist insurrection that they are beginning. This is exactly what they have asked for. Just because you're not seeing necessarily the widespread demonstrations in the streets, you must understand that that is giving way to something far more serious. When the earthquakes stop, that's when the volcano is about to blow. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. We've got a lot of other things that we need to discuss. Russia has massed a huge number of troops on the Ukrainian border. We've got the Gray Zone summit that I took part in that's going to be going live in early December. We talked about mesh networking, number of other things. A lot. A whole lot. And this conversation that we had tonight, this reflection on all of this, on this great evil shadow that's being cast upon our land. Prepare yourselves. Consider this a warning. Pray. Continue to pray. And if you're not faithful, well, then please, I implore you to go out and do good. Just do good. That's all you have to do. Love your fellow man. Take care of one another. It's the most basic thing that we can do. Take care of one another. And at this point, I would like to also give a big shout out to some of our sponsors out there. With that said, American Partisan has a large number of sponsors in our sidebar. When you click on the links, you see a story that you want to read, and you look at some of the stuff in the sidebar. We've got a bunch of ads. We've got a bunch of supporters out there who absolutely love the content that's on the site and support us financially. This stuff is very expensive to do. Hosting a website's very, very expensive to do. Enry Goods, Christian bookstore, Christian patches, apparels, and swag, conversation starters for uncertain times, all original and all for His glory. Please click on that link. I'm going to have the link down below. Go out there and buy some stuff from them. They are a Christian company. And hey, you know, if you're not faithful, I totally get it. Got absolutely nothing against that either. But support these guys because they support us. Blacksmith Publishing, the Warriors Bookstore. Of course, click on that link. You know, all the books that Mike Blackburn, Paul Lefebvre, and the team that they have over there, please go over there and check them out. So much knowledge. So much knowledge in just that hour's time. And, you know, that was one of the things that I wish that we had been recording for the other 4 hours that we just sat and talked. Because there was so much knowledge that was there. But it's contained in their books. It's contained in their writings. So please. Blacksmithpublishing.com. The link is in the sidebar, and I'm going to have another one down below. Please go check them out. Ready-made resources should need no introduction. Bob Griswold and his team over there. Anything from night vision to freeze-dried food, freeze dryers themselves. I'm going to be buying one of those next from Bob. Picking up a Harvest Right from him. But, you know, please do business with these guys. Do business with these guys. Libertas Bella Clothing, libertarian clothing and accessories company that is founded by and run by a former active duty Marine. Great guy. I've interacted a lot with them and really just proud to have them as an advertiser as well. Of course, Palmetto State Armory. Been talking a lot about Palmetto State Armory, and they've got their Black Rifle, or I should say Black Friday rifle deals. And go check them out if you want to knock out some of your Christmas shopping a little bit early. They've got some killer deals on stuff. In fact, somebody on the forum that I was interacting with right before I jumped in here to start recording an episode found an AK on there for $600. Palmetto State AKs, by the way, you can check out my reviews, especially this AK-104 that I've got over here. Wrote about the AK-104 as a weapon system. I'll be talking about that more in a future episode. But, man, I'm going to tell you what, they are knocking it out of the park. I think in terms of fit and finish and in durability, they've got the Kalashnikov nailed down. And they are producing some of the best AKs on the planet, bar none. I know there's going to be some military collector fanboys out there that just shit themselves. But hey, I mean, it is what it is, right? And of course, last but certainly not least, the top of the advertiser list, the Civil Defense Manual, Jack Lawson's Civil Defense Manual. I wrote the communications chapter in that. If you want a quick start guide on setting up a community defense, because believe me, folks, if you didn't have your wake-up call last night, if this episode didn't give you your wake-up call, personal protection, you know, that book is exactly how to do it, all right? I wrote the communications chapter, but every one of the authors, including Jack Lawson himself, wrote their chapters in there based on experience. It is a very comprehensive guide in 2 volumes of how to prepare yourself and your neighborhood from any disaster, both man-made and natural. And, you know, we wrote everything from that perspective in there. So please, you owe yourself a copy of these books, all right? So anyhow, folks, you know, bad times. Bad times are on the horizon. Bad times. There is an evil over the land that is threatening us. And you need to take your protection more seriously. Become more aware in your environment. One of the things I want you to go out and do. I want you to go out and do. You can do it tomorrow. I want you to play a little game with yourself. When you are driving to work, you might even be listening to this podcast. You're driving on your way to work. I want you to take a route to work that you wouldn't normally take. I want you to pay attention to and be cognizant of the route that you normally take and take another way into work. That now will become your alternate route. And after that, on the way home, or the next time that you leave the house, take a different way in. That'll become your contingency route. Primary, alternate, contingency. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to the road signs. Pay attention to the houses. Pay attention to the people along the way. Pay attention to the condition of the road. Pay attention to the small things. Pay very, very close attention to the context cues. When you do that, it's going to be a simple tool to build awareness. Basic awareness. Awareness of your surroundings. Awareness of your routes. Awareness of the baseline. Because once you understand the baseline, you'll begin to understand everything else. You know, that's what it's all about. That is what it is all about. And of course, always be armed. Always, always, always be armed. Don't be sitting on the sidelines. Don't be caught without a firearm. Don't be caught without a way to defend yourself. Anyway, folks, with that said, I want you to also reflect on what I said. If you're religious, then you get it. If you're not, well, you know, then you're not. But religion is not necessarily something that I always talk about. I've always went through life believing that we judge someone's faith by their actions, and not by what they espouse, what they tell people, what they promulgate to the world. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a very firm believer in that. But at the same time, I believe that when there is great tragedy, when there is great sorrow, and when there is an accompanying great anger and a bloodlust, that it is important to take a step back and focus on that which is good in the world. The time of judging will come. It will. Oh, believe me, it will. Everything finds balance. Everything becomes equitable in the end. But it's not always on our terms. And that is something that we must endure. And with that said, folks, I hope that you are having a blessed week. I hope that you continue to do so. I hope that you continue to be well. Continue to prepare. Continue to train. God bless, and I'll talk to all of you tomorrow. Good night.